Welcome back to Rome Boys as we continue our faith formation videos with death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Four last things.
Yeah. It's showtime.
Kind of a somber tone.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Oh boy, this is exciting.
I don't know. I'm scared.
So we've been in our faith formation series, been studying the creed. So God the Father, we hit Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We did the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the four marks of the church. And so now to finish up the creed part of it, we're doing death, judgment, and heaven and hell. And this is stuff that we all have to face. We're all going to die. We're all going to be done.
Yeah, that's kind of
everybody has to
topic.
Agree with that.
Yeah, everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
We are all going to die.
I'm going to die. You are going to die.
And that might be a shocker to some people.
Yeah, they're living for this life.
What was it, Father Larry Richards in his book, Be a Man? That's the first title. You're going to die.
Yeah.
That's like the first sign.
Wake up.
First sentence in the book. You're going to die.
We are going to die.
Yeah. And I like it. If you wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm awake today, but it gives you perspective. Like tomorrow, you may not be here. Yeah. And so live today as if it's your last. Live it to the full. Yeah.
Yeah. So, And death is the catalyst for everything else we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's interesting. A lot of times you talk to somebody, or when they come to, when you meet them, you say, "Well, how you doing?" It's like, "Well, I woke up this morning."
Yeah.
So I guess that's good.
Yeah, it's a good start.
Well, I don't know. I kind of have a different look at that. I was like, "Well, it depends on where you're going to go."
Right.
You know, if you're going to die, you're going to heaven. You know, why wait?
Right.
You know, why not just be excited about it?
And a lot of people, I remember when I was teaching students in the classroom, a lot of people are afraid of death, you know, but there's nothing to be afraid of if your soul is ready for death at any moment.
I think that's the part that kind of gets us, is that it's unknown. Yeah. Are we?
Are you sure?
Yeah, right.
Are you going to
I don't know
in?
If I am even right now.
I don't know.
If you're staying close to Christ and the church, you should at least have some peace with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basic. If you don't believe you have a soul, I mean, you're worm dirt, right? So it would be kind of scary.
Yeah.
I think that's, we've talked about this in other episodes where non-Christians, non-believers kind of have that fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they don't have anything to look forward to.
Yeah.
So they're hanging on to this life as much as they can because there's nothing else after that. It's worm dirt.
It's hard to be in it but not of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we try to balance as Christians all the time. That the concept of death is kind of interesting because God's genius in his ways. If it's the law of supply and demand. If there was endless supply of life, it would be less valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So God creates us in pure value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of an interesting, or, you know, I say interesting a lot, but it's a cool way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Every day counts. Every day matters. Every interaction matters.
Yeah, right.
The things we do matter. So if you don't believe that in God and that there is a heaven and hell, nothing matters.
Does life matter? Yeah.
Yeah. No, right. Nothing matters.
So there's options of abortion. There's options of suicide. Everything's fair game.
We see that in our culture now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So point being, don't be afraid of death. Mm-hmm. Without it, nothing would have value.
Right. One soapbox I have is at a funeral. So lots of times, clergy or laity, people will say, well, we know they're in a better place. No.
Yeah.
Incorrect. Unless you're at Mother Teresa's funeral or John Paul II or someone you know, like you're convinced they're a saint. But until the church has said they're a saint, we should pray for their soul forever. You know, so my grandparents that passed away, mm-hmm. I don't know where they're at. So I'm going to pray for them every day.
Yeah.
I pray for the souls in purgatory. So try to, as Catholics, to get past that. At a funeral, we're there to pray for them. Yes, to mourn and we miss them, but don't forget to pray for them forever until
Yeah. I think that's what people do, that is just kind of comfort the person who's lost somebody.
Yeah,
but it's gone too far.
What do you think that person in purgatory wants right now is their prayers.
Yeah. It's gone too far. Because, you do. If you think that they're automatically in heaven, then you just kind of, I don't need to pray for them.
Right.
There's no reason to pray for them if they're in heaven. Well, that's the danger. Right. You don't know.
You don't know.
We don't know.
If they're in heaven, it's just going to get ricocheted back to help us out, or help somebody else out. So the prayers are still going to work. So, it's important. And also pray for people, like when people offer up masses, we can do that while they're living too,
So that doesn't happen enough. We don't have enough.
We need to do that. And actually, one saint said it's worth a lot more when you pray for them when they're alive than after they're dead. So this is the time to pray
for
people.
How cool would it be to set up masses to be said for, say, your kids on their birthday?
Yeah. Right.
I was sitting in mass one day.
Have they died?
Exactly.
No, it's just their birthday.
I was sitting in mass one day, and there was somebody, the mass was offered for somebody who was alive, and I thought,
I got to go check them. I'm going to call them.
What happened? God bless them.
Yeah, right. They're in a better place, God willing.
So as Catholics, we have crucifixes in our midst all the time.
Yeah, speaking of death.
Right? It's valuable. Mm-hmm. It's so valuable that it created the opportunity for our salvation.
Right. It's the doorway to eternal life, God willing. Yeah. So it's something we should not be afraid of.
And death is kind of always, it's every day we have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Whether it is somebody who physically dies, but aren't you supposed to die to yourself?
Yeah, amen.
You come up with a temptation.
Bad boy says,
And a time of temptation comes around, or if it's something that you really want, you need to die to yourself so that you
can take up your cross.
Yeah. So death is all around us.
Constantly.
In
Revelation chapter 21, but as for cowards, this may be why some people get scared if you think about it, because, but as for cowards, the unfaithful, the depraved, murderers, the unchaste, sorcerers, idol worshippers, and deceivers of every sort, their lot is in the burning pool of fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
Wow.
Yeah, so it is kind of scary, right?
Because
if you don't know where people are at, we can't just claim, yes, they're there. Even saints, the church believes that they are and says that, this is a huge body of evidence to prove that we believe this.
Right. There should be, the catechism teaches there's perfect contrition and imperfect contrition. So perfect contrition is like, man, I want to go to heaven. Please, Lord, let me in. And what you were talking about, imperfect contrition, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to hell. Help me avoid that. And it's good to remember those. Now, more people, are hopefully motivated by the positive, but sometimes we need a little bit of fire behind us.
So if you're scared of death, you should just die once. Just be excited to die. I just want to die once.
I think I forget which comedian said this, but he said, "I'd rather live like there is a God and find out there isn't."
Right, Pascal's wager.
Pascal's
wager. Mm-hmm. Then live like there is no God and find out there is.
Right.
Well, to me, that makes sense in a way, but that's not a real relationship with anybody. That's kind of a cover your tail in case you get in trouble.
It's the best bet. But
I'm going to do this just in case.
That's
an insurance policy. Yeah. That's not the way.
That's watching your six.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you're watching your tail to make sure you get somewhere you want to go.
Play your cards right.
I don't know if I agree with
it's not all in.
Well,
right?
I guess for some people, you never know where they are. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, it's a starting point.
Hopefully opens the door for
relationships.
I mean, aren't we supposed to live our lives in a way that shows that we're grateful for what Jesus did for us?
Amen.
I mean, to me, that other Pascal's wager is kind of, I don't know. I'm going to do it just for myself.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
To make sure that I get where I want to go instead.
But logically, it's trying to work through people and get them to that place to where they're at the door.
Got
to
start somewhere.
Yeah,
start
somewhere.
Because sometimes you're having to refute knuckleheads. let's start at the beginning.
Yeah, right.
That was me.
Yeah.
Beep, back up. Let's start from this. Let's go from the beginning.
Well, that was me for the church, quite honestly. I had to, bang on my skull a little bit to get back to the root of it. Right. And that's when I said, what am I protesting? I'm not a protestant. I'm not a protester.
Yeah.
I'm against. I'm not protesting anything. But so, we just mentioned that. So as we're talking, getting back to the beginning, starting from scratch, death is not the end.
Right.
Where
right.
most people think, we've talked about that.
Earthly life is short. Yeah. Yeah. This is just the waiting room, or just a little bit into eternal life. Eternity's forever. Heaven yeah. or hell is going to be one of our destinations. Forever. What is it? Sandlot? Is that what it is?
They said until forever. Forever. Forever.
Forever. Francis Chan has a video talking about where he has that rope, where he's talking about, and he has a little piece of tape on the end of the rope, and he says, this tape here represents your time here on Earth. Mm-hmm. It's just a short piece of time. And then he starts pulling that rope, and it's 20 minutes later. You know? So what happens on this piece of tape determines what's going to happen
wow.
on the rest of the rope.
Good perspective. Think about that's that crazy. Every day when you wake yeah. up. Yeah, that's awesome.
So heaven or hell.
That's it. Right, exactly. We will. So the whole point of the catechism, the four last things, we're going to die. We're going to be judged. We're going to go to heaven or hell, or we're going to be in purgatory for a little bit, which is there's only one door out to heaven. So the catechism says in paragraph 1022, each man receives his eternal retribution, so you get what you deserve, in his immortal soul. Man, we need to look at people as souls more often, but that's another topic. At the very moment of his death, so our soul is going to be judged by God. But we already know the results at that point because you know where you're at. But anyways, in a particular judgment that refers his like to Christ, either entrance into the blessedness of heaven through purification, that's where I'm heading right now, if I died today, I would think, or immediately, that's the saint, or immediate and everlasting damnation. So we're going to be judged, our soul is going to be judged. A particular judgment, what the catechism calls it, and we're either going to go straight to heaven as a saint, which not a lot of people do, purgatory to be purified, to be made into a saint, because only saints get into heaven. Revelation says nothing unclean shall enter the gates of heaven. So you got to be a saint to get there, or we go to hell. But again, if you're in the state of grace, which means you are not perfect, but at least you're trying and you're sorry for your sins, you will eventually be in heaven. So that's our main theme today.
That's our goal.
We want you to be in heaven. You know, we want your soul to be there. And, you know, we need to pray for the souls in purgatory, the ones that need that little extra boost to be purified to get into heaven. And we pray for the people, like we talked about in our suicide episode, people that have been, babies that have been aborted.
Yeah.
And we assume they're in heaven. We pray that they're in heaven, but they weren't baptized. So anyways, long story short, we pray for everybody.
Oh, pray for me.
Yeah. That's the best prayer to pray. I pray for every soul that has ever existed in humanity, past, present, and future. I think it covers it pretty much all, doesn't it?
Yeah. It covers a lot.
I mean, you got to pray for your enemies too, mm-hmm. specifically.
Right.
That's tough. So we're guaranteed to do three of the last four.
Mm-hmm.
So, because purgatory is kind of on your way.
We have
a video on purgatory. Go check it out.
Right.
But purgatory is just
temporary.
You're guaranteed to get into heaven eventually.
One door out.
So so we're guaranteed to go through three of the last four.
We're going to be judged.
We're going to die. Mm-hmm. We're going to be judged. Mm-hmm. And
Jibby judge.
Jibby judge.
And then if it's the end of the world, there's something called the general judgment, where every soul that's on earth will be judged at once, and the separation of the sheep and the goats, we'll read that scripture verse a little bit later. But so that's when purgatory ceased to exist, and then you go straight to heaven or to hell. So you get out of purgatory. But according to Patrick McDrid, a great apologist, he's like, you don't want to be around at that time, because that's when the Antichrist is coming. It's the end of the world. There's all this temptation. Satan's letting it all go. And so if you can survive you're going to survive kind of like purgatory on earth at that point.
Yeah,
so there are going to be a few people that don't actually experience death, because they will be here during that time.
Death, so maybe you don't fall to the ground, you just get on the escalator up or going down. So that is death. It's the end of this life,
it's in thinking about the abortion subject a little bit, but the church believes in life from conception
to
death, natural conception, natural death. We all
watch
know
our pro-life video.
There's going to be that moment, and we all agree, there's that moment when we're no longer alive. As a matter of fact, I know the laws of the state of Texas, they have to document the exact time when the person passed away.
Sure.
There has to be a time documented. Mm-hmm. So
call it doctor. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and that affects all of these, the four last things, but living on the birth side,
right.
There may not be that specific time in some people's minds, but in the church, It is also very specific, and that's at conception.
Yeah, so. Right.
So if we're going to go in chronological order here, yeah. First you have to die,
yeah.
Then the judgment.
Exactly, right.
And they call it, the first one is the particular.
Particularly, you are being judged by God. And again, that's not a scary thing unless you are in mortal sin and you are not sorry for your sins. Then you should be worried. And it's not like God's like, you are condemned to hell. You know, like,
yeah.
You know your life is just what the result will be, you know, and the state of your soul at the moment of your death. So you lived a great life, but the last day you did something that you're not sorry for. Uh-oh, you know, right. So yeah. St. Joseph is the patron saint of a happy death. So we pray to him,
yes.
Our guardian angel, all the angels and saints, all the souls in purgatory to pray for us at that moment. Because who do you think's attacking the most?
Yeah.
At our deathbed, Satan.
Absolutely.
And God is there, and it's a bitter battle for your soul at that moment. Mm-hmm. It is right now, too, but hardcore releasing both good and bad coming after you.
So this is it. There is no battle between good and evil. And I think maybe we've alluded to that in the past. There is no battle between good and evil. The battle is for us, mm-hmm. our souls. And this mm-hmm. is why Scripture speaks of the angels in heaven being jealous of us on earth.
Right.
The battle is for us. Mm-hmm. God loves us that much. Mm-hmm. So it's scary, death, but mm-hmm. we shouldn't be scared of it, right? Like you
right,
said.
Right, right.
Well, wasn't it St. Augustine who said, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but the God who created us didn't need our
permission
or mm-hmm. didn't need our consent to mm-hmm. create us,
right?
Wants our consent to save us.
Yes, yes. It's all up to us. He's right there.
Good.
He's the God of love. His arms are wide open, but we have to go to him to be embraced by him, and he's... Please, please, begging and always knocking at the door.
How hard-headed are we?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
So, but at the particular judgment, when you're judged there, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell.
Or purgatory to be purified.
Right. Uh-huh. So either or, at the last judgment.
Heaven or hell.
That doesn't change your destination.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, at that last judgment, your soul is like, there it is.
Yeah.
I think that's the lesser known judgment. It's mm-hmm. like, what actually takes place? What actually happens at the last mm-hmm. judgment? Some mm-hmm. people don't even think that there is one, I don't think.
And then where our bodies will be reunited with our souls as well. So the people that are already in heaven will get their body back, and the people in hell will get their body back to be tortured as well. So, you know, the glorified body of heaven, you know, and then the one that be
a large inspires. Portion of people that believe in God. So there's all different sorts of religions that mm-hmm. believe in, you know, a monotheistic, a single God.
Which is a huge amount of
huge
people.
Amount. That's Muslims included, right?
Yeah, and
right.
Jews.
They mm-hmm. believe in the final judgment. You mm-hmm. go to a place mm-hmm. and then everyone will be judged together.
Which is interesting in the Holy Land, the door where in Revelation it talks about, I believe it's Revelation, where Jesus will return, Jews, Muslims and Catholics and Protestant Christians all agree that this is the spot where Jesus will return. Now the Muslims are like, yay, the great prophet, you know, Jesus, and the Jews are like, woohoo, you know, the Son of Man is here,
the
you know, the Messiah has finally arrived. And then Christians are like, yay, he's back, you know.
Right.
But we are all excited about, yes, he is there, you know, he has come, returned, you know, first time, second time. But
so
keep us on track, Joe.
The judgment, heaven or hell.
Yep.
Particular.
Yep.
Then we have the last judgment. I think a lot of people don't understand, realize that at the last judgment, that's when all of our sins are going to be revealed.
Yes.
Exposed to everyone.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
And you're like, but then you're like, oh, you know. So what I'm saying is, you're going to be ashamed of what you've done, but everybody's going to be.
Well, actually, no. I actually heard this something different. I think it was Father Ricardo who said that whenever you have that last judgment, there's no shame in heaven.
Yeah,
so whenever last judgment,
we
got to
get
comes,
that out maybe before
it's going to be more of, okay, look what he forgave.
Ah.
Look how bad I was. He forgave that. I'm in heaven. So there's actually, I don't know, not pride.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't glorify me because I was bad.
Right.
It glorifies God. Amen. To how forgiving he was.
That's the part of heaven. Right.
And how merciful that he is. Like, look how bad I was.
Yeah.
And he forgave that. Look how awesome he is. So
it's graciousness and gratitude in the midst of his presence.
And all the good that will follow up there and stay there.
Yeah, gratitude is that.
It's the least experienced emotion in the human existence.
Mm. It's lost in this culture. Nobody's thankful anymore. Please and thank you. Come on, people.
Sorry,
joy.
I don't have the...
We need joy. That's what saints need more than ever. I mean, in our society and depression level and the suicide rate that's increasing, abortion, the culture of death, be happy, people. Be joyful. That's the best thing you can do is just walk around and smile all day. What did I do all day? Well, you smiled at 100 people. That's awesome.
It is.
You did. You brought joy to the world and gratitude. Yes. So in Hebrews 9, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So Hebrews is very clear, like kind of black and white for guys, right?
Yeah.
We're going to die. We're going to be judged.
Nuts and bolts.
Think about that. You know, every day we're going to die. So heaven, the catechism says in 1024, heaven is the ultimate end and fulfillment of the deepest longings. And I would say the deepest longings of the human heart, the state of supreme definitive happiness. So you take all the happiness we've ever experienced in this life doesn't equal the first second of heaven.
That's amazing.
That's what I want to be a part of. How is that? What is that like?
My dad is one of two known survivors in the United States of a legal decapitation. And
Whoa.
It's getting hot in here.
St. Dennis?
Yeah, right.
Check that out, everybody.
So he said that when he was in the vehicle in the accident, that he had that glimpse, that moment where he experienced an NDE, a near-death experience, but he believed, that he was dead, and he said he couldn't even fathom it. And it was just everything that you ever hear, like heaven is for real and all these children telling these stories, same exact story every time, the bright light, the most comforting feeling.
Don't want to come back because it's so awesome.
Exactly.
It's like you wake up in the hospital bed, like, dang it.
All right.
These guys, man.
I got to help more people.
So, all right.
So, and then in Revelation 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Remember, God created the world without pain, suffering, disease, sickness, and even death. And it's our sin that brought all of this mess into the world. So God will, in heaven, that all goes away. So, I mean, not only is heaven supreme, definitive happiness, but it's everything that we don't like about earth gone. And amazing.
That sounds awesome.
No pain, no suffering as we get older, Joe, right? All right.
In the morning.
I could be doing flips in heaven. All right.
Yeah.
Can't do them now. Yeah. Never could.
So God created heaven.
All right.
God created this perfectly. He didn't make a mistake. And then, we made the mistake.
Amen. Amen.
And so in Revelation chapter 21, the title of that chapter is the new heaven and the new earth, which is kind of a neat perspective. Like, hey, guys, I didn't mess this up.
Right.
But I'm not going to, we ask these questions like, why does God allow this? Why does God allow that? Mm-hmm. Well, he freely loved us in this life and wanted us to be able to make whatever decision to not compel us to love him too much or to, and people ask, well, if God just appeared, why won't he just appear to me now and I'll believe and I'll love him like never before? Well, because now he's compelling you against your will. He loves you so much, he gives you that option.
Yeah, because if we were to see him right now, we would be like, probably just die.
But hasn't he appeared many times as it is? Like, how many more times does he have to appear?
Yeah.
And I like it, and even in Genesis, after we sin, right away, God the Father is like, Adam, Eve, what have you done? Kind of thing. Like, he's right there when we mess up. So, and he's got the backup plans already set in place. Well, of course, he knew before they did it. So, he's the God outside of time and all powerful. So,
nothing is, he's not surprised by it.
Yeah.
Joe, I think we're on the turn row.
Are we on the turn row?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Well, let's see. So, heaven. We've talked about heaven.
Yep. Let's go to purgatory. We're going to go brief on purgatory because we have a video.
We got a whole other video on that one.
But the catechism says in 1030, all who die in God's grace but still imperfectly purified are assured of heaven. So, it's, yes, I've made it to purgatory. But after death must undergo purification in order to enter into heaven in 1 Corinthians 3:15. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. That's... Yay, I'm going to make it to heaven. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Through himself, he will be saved, but only as through fire. So he will be saved through fire. So we're saying here, purgatory is not easy. Okay,
yeah.
It's filling in the holes that sin caused. So like a sin is like a nail going into the log. Confession takes it out. Purgatory is filling all those holes to be holy to enter into heaven. Yeah. So it's important that we have those holes filled in. So prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we can do it now. We can do charitable deeds and love others now. Or we have to work it off in purgatory and rely on people in heaven and also on earth to pray for us to get out, like we started off this episode. So I hope at my funeral, guys, that you're there and you're praying for me and forever. I literally want on my tombstone bright lights with a sign. I'm an advertiser. I'm sorry. That says, pray for me. Pray for me. It's blinking constantly. Those hotel signs like vacancy. You know, pray for me. And then if I appear to you and say, okay, I'm good, guys, then turn off the lights and save electricity bill. But really, like, you know,
solar.
Need the prayers. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Right, solar lights.
In heaven, there is no partiality.
Oh, you're going to say beer. Heaven, there is no beer. No partiality.
There is no partiality in heaven, right? So you need that purification. And in the Old Testament, the Jews know this very well because the refining of gold is only done through a perfect temperature, a very hot fire.
Refiner's fire.
Yeah, the refiner.
So it's not going to be any fun.
No.
But there's still hope.
Yes.
Because we will eventually get there.
In football, we had 3-a-days in college. I hated it, but it was so good for me.
Yeah.
I guess. You know, I hated it. I didn't want to. I wanted it to end, but I became a better athlete by the end of it.
You know?
And it was torturous, and I couldn't wait. But at the same time, there was an end, and there was a happy ending. So, so better than our football season, but heaven is going to be better than that.
Maybe the more we suffer on earth,
yes,
the less time we may have in purgatory. Amen.
A little purgatory here on earth.
Yeah, get her done.
Get her done.
Yeah, get her done now. Look, he's getting her done. This is great. Welcome back to Texas, Tony.
Texas 3 years.
Glad to have you.
So right. Now, hell, okay? The catechism says, to die in mortal sin without repenting and accepting God's merciful love means remaining separated from him forever by our own free choice. God doesn't want that. It's our own free choice. Mortal sin without repenting. And we chose it. But God's merciful love is coming out. And we said, nope, we reject it. I want my mortal sin. I want to stay in this state. I don't need you.
I think it was, yeah, I think it's Father Larry Richards. It says, you know, God, at the when you die and you, four last things, he's going to give you what you want.
Yes.
If you want him, he's going to give you him.
Oh.
If you want everything else that you've been sinning with, this whole, you've struggled with your whole life.
Here you go.
If that's what you want, he's going to give it to you.
And think about it, all the people that have been doing those sins, they've been searching for something more, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, yes, I did want you, God. You know, I've just been looking in the wrong places, right?
And, you know, so many people that confess on a regular basis, every time I have the conversation, we've had the conversation, we're saying the same things in confession over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary to think about when you said that, Joe, because God's going to give you what you want, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like every time I go to confession, it's the same thing over and over again. But I've heard one priest say it. I forget who it was, but he said, well, at least it's not something new. At least you're not committing something else.
And God willing, not the biggies, right? So if you're if you're constantly committing venial sins, the righteous person sins 7 times a day. If you're doing 100 sins, if it's 100 today, like impatience, you know, potentially it might be.
Yeah.
But if it's venial sin and you're only committing venial sin and hopefully going to confession, but even if you go once a year to confession, which we recommend more often. But if you're only committing venial sin, it says only mortal sin would merit hell. So if you're baptized, you're going to confession, you're going to Mass on Sunday, trying to live an active prayer life, and not committing mortal sin, you have peace. You know, again, purgatory for those holes, but at the same time,
I think we'll have an episode on confession one of these days.
Yes.
But just to top off, you know, there's some practical results from confession, regular confession.
Many graces.
To confession regularly, I mean, one Lent, we decided, my wife and I, we were going to go every week during Lent. And we did. And after about the first 2 weeks, it's sitting there going, I'm almost about to commit a sin. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to have to tell Father. So there's practical.
So it stopped you.
Yeah, it stopped me. So it's like,
good.
It's like, ding, light bulb went off. Ooh. I'm going to have to tell Father.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
so it's kind of stopped me there. So there's practical logic in confession every week.
Genius in Catholicism.
That's one of the graces. It helps you to fight off sin. And then you have more of a shield. You're like, remember, you're a knight, you know, with the armor, with the shield, with the sword. And so the more you go to confession, the more the lighter it is, and the more you can fight off Satan.
In some religions, some Christian denominations, you stand up in front of the whole congregation. And you air your laundry.
Oh, wow.
I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no.
There was a time in the church that that's what you did confession.
Yeah.
You did it in public.
And you wore sackcloth, and so it kind of was obvious. Oh, he did something pretty
bad. And the penance was like years.
Tar and feathers.
You weren't allowed to mass for years.
Yeah.
Depending on how bad it was, I guess. Yeah. But
so this is a prelude to confession. Later on, we'll talk about this more.
Yeah. But judgment is, I think, what's one thing that we need to drive home here is don't be the judge of your own sin so much as allow the priest to guide you through the confessional. Because what has happened in my life, and I know a lot of people who've come to the church when I worked in, you know, for the church is, it's not that bad, or, and you don't want to start throwing your trash in the back of your car. Mm-hmm. It might start out clean and then it's just one thing and then it's just another. And the dirtier it gets, the easier it is to throw trash back there and just let it pile up.
All right. Did you go look in my pickup this morning?
Oh, yeah. Well, who was it that said, it'd be great if God just knew, I think it was Father Larry Richards that said, if the priest could just go out into the parking lot. And so a confession was basically a car wash and all the dirty cars out there, you know, he could just go see who has been to confession and who hasn't, just by the dirty cars.
Of course, a lot of the saints could see read souls. So every priest had that gift. But,
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you walk up to a priest on the street. Yeah. You need to come see.
Come on.
Well, a lot of priests call themselves garbage men, right? Because they're cleaning the garbage out of our lives, and they love it.
Right.
They look forward to it, to be able to get us to where we need to be, and we need them desperately. I wish our Catholic churches, where there was long lines of people waiting for confession. Honestly, it's pretty easy for me to get in and out on a Saturday evening, and I wish that wasn't the case. You know, we all are sinners, and we need God's grace. None of us are saints. You know,
Isn't that the scandal of the church right now, is that the line for communion is a lot longer than the line for confession.
Oh,
right. What, so if analysis, you know you're in mortal sin, please don't go up for communion, right? And go to confession so you can receive our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell.
Yeah. Man. So Matthew 25:31-34, let's close with that if you guys are all right with that.
Amen.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Praise Jesus, right? Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And it goes on, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Those are words we want to hear. Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, come on in, good and faithful servant. That's our goal. That's our dream. Those are the words you want to hear. I say the best words I hear every 2 weeks is, I forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't that like music to the ears? Like, whoa, I'm started over again. It's the same sins, you know, getting washed away. But like, if I died right now, praise Jesus. I'm going to be able to go somewhere.
Let's drive home those 4 points. When the goats, he said, you did what for me? Because it really brings it home and makes it very simple.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. So basically, you're thinking of others before yourself, right? Yeah. You're living for others.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can cover all of those just with your own kids.
Yes. Yeah.
They were hungry. They were naked. You gave them clothes. They didn't come with clothes.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's incarcerated when they get in trouble.
Right.
Let's hope we have to avoid that one.
Visit them in their room. You're grounded.
So many people, though, they expect the schools to teach them, the government to feed them, to clothe them, to shelter them, and even for our people, you know, the people in our on the edge of our society. Those people that are kind of pushed out.
What would Jesus do?
Yeah. That's our job.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So the government's kind of taken that away from us.
You know,
we're supposed to be the ones that are comforting and doing all these things for the poor and stuff, but they've, through our taxes, have kind of, well, we'll do it for you. And then that just makes us lazy.
Yeah. But when the Catholic Church is in charge of these things, you know, through charitable organizations and hospitals and pick your organization, they do it less money and also done with love and bringing Christ and evangelizing.
That's
so we got to make sure our Catholic charity organizations and all these ones don't go away. We need them because they do it the best.
Catholic schools save the United States $40 billion a year.
We'll have to share those statistics. Yeah. I have a lot of numbers on all that stuff, how much the church saves. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description.
There you go.
Four
last things. Thank you all for joining us for the four last things. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to subscribe. Share us with your friends. Let's get the word out. Let's spread the Rome Boys mission to all over.
And
evangelize as many people as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring it home. So, again, thank you for joining us for the four last things in our Faith Formation series. And don't forget, be real.
Be bold.
Be Catholic.
God bless.
God bless.